Wheel. It's 8:30 on a Tuesday, and Paige Woplington from Redesign Interiors is back with more information about how you can turn your space into something really, really special by talking to and working with the professionals, in this case, with Paige Woplington and her team from Redesign Interiors. Welcome, Paige. Lovely to see you again.
Lovely to see you, Dave.
And here we are talking about, last week we were talking about a process making you 100% happier for 1% of your budget, and that made so much sense. And we were talking more about colors and style and, you know, beautiful things, and that's lovely. But today you want to talk about the functionality of your space as well, because it's not all about looks. It is about looks, but not entirely, because if the space doesn't work, then you can only get by on looks for so long. But like people, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about this. What function is important to happiness in the home?
All function inside the home needs to be what you like to live with, so that you can feel good inside that space. It's kind of like the invisible hero of the space, you know. If you don't have a kitchen that functions well for you, or even your entrance, it can actually lead to being an irritation and just make you unhappy every day. So we've got to make sure we got that right.
And there are those that will tell you that in their particular belief structure, feng shui is very important as
yes.
well. The feng shui, however you want to pronounce it, is up to you. But the principles of certain things are important. And I wonder if they're based on any practical consideration. I don't know, but are you familiar with the design concept?
I have some knowledge in it, but not a vast amount of knowledge
okay.
on it. Yeah.
Because apparently where your doors are is important, and which way things face, and where mirrors
yes.
are. Lots of things.
Lots of things.
So let's practically look at a new project. What is the first functional thing you assess?
We look at the flow of a house. So how we want to experience the house day to day, what kind of needs you have as a family going into that space. You know, like if you have a young family and there's school bags and shoes and sports equipment and those sorts of things, like how are you going to walk through that space, and where are those things going to be firstly dumped? You want to make sure that when you walk into a space, you are greeted with calm and peace rather than chaos.
So I presume then that things that divide space, walls in particular, can be problematic. There might be, from an architectural perspective, very important that you have a support wall here, but if the house then doesn't flow, can you at that stage get involved and say, how about we do it this way?
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons why we like to get into our project fairly early, so we can have a look at those things before the walls are built or before renovations have happened. And things like, walls inside a TV lounge, super important. Everybody loves to have these big glass windows, but then suddenly we don't have a space for a television. And then that causes an issue. So like all of those sorts of things.
I was going to ask you about windows, because you say space for a television is very important, but so is light, isn't it?
Yes, of course. I mean, we need to consider both of those things, but you can't have one and not the other.
And peculiarly, light is only an issue during the day, and then at night it can become a negative. You know what I'm saying? Huge windows, and you've got to now have drapes, and it's all stuff to consider.
Yeah, because I mean, with the windows, great for light, but then we have to consider privacy. Maybe not just at night time, even during the day, you know, when you've got close neighbors or roads nearby or those sorts of things with direct views in. So great to have the light, but we also need to make sure you looked after in the space.
And while we're on the subject of windows, they're also a security issue, as are doors. But I believe there are ways of making nowadays, and in your design emporium, you have in your collective very innovative security features
yes.
that make these spaces that could be problematic aesthetically very pleasing and very secure.
Yeah, we do have some great products from a variety of different suppliers, but the ones that are quite popular are the screens that you can still see through. So they kind of look like a blind, but they're security screens. You can't break through them, and they're also great for monkeys.
So looking at the aesthetic, the practical aesthetic, there are ways of going from the get-go in your design that give you both flow, function, light, security, space, privacy, but you've got to know what you're doing from the beginning.
Yeah, and consider all those things and how they act on each other.
Okay. You also talk about sight lines.
Yes.
Which is, I'm used to that from the theatre perspective, but I didn't realize it was important in a home or in a building.
Yes, of course. So like, say you've got your kitchen next to your lounge, and the first thing you see when you walk into that space is your sink. Like, that's not ideal. You want the first thing you experience when you go into that space to be a beautiful piece of art or the view or a gorgeous couch. You don't want the first thing to see was your dirty dishes.
And it hasn't always been the case with design. Back in the day, I think it was quite common. I don't know whether it's a general practice, but I walked into a lovely apartment block in Cape Town, older block, and we were looking at an apartment. The first thing you saw was the toilet.
Exactly.
How strange. Why would they build like that? Yeah. If the door happened to be open, that's what you saw. Come on.
And that's actually a big one that you bring up, because a lot of times the toilets are positioned like you open the door and the first thing you see is the loo. You kind of want the loo to be hidden.
Yeah.
So that if someone has walked on, you know, you don't see anything. And also you don't want the toilet to be a thing that gets looked at. You want to look at your vanity or the wallpaper or something pretty. Yeah.
That's an important consideration that many folk, well, you know, the plumber will put it, with respect to my previous guest, you know, and they're very good, but they may just do the most natural sequence, easy pipes, etc. That's where the toilet will go, bang.
Yeah.
Because it works from a flow, but not from a visual perspective.
Yes.
And therefore working together is so important with designer, then you'll be a happy compromise. Let's just put the toilet there. Okay, everyone's happy.
Well, and also on that, I mean, everybody at this stage of a build is looking at plans. So you're looking at something in 2D and, you know, it looks like it's great. It's being able to see it in the 3D and what that's going to look like when it's all actually built that you need to consider. So sometimes you just miss it because you're not trained to see the 3D aspect of it.
With technology these days, I believe it's possible to create three-dimensional plans.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And is it something that you work with?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the practicalities like doorways, hallways, and passage widths, who would have even thought they were important? But clearly they are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have a passageway that is too skinny, it can feel like a long, you know, tunnel that you have to go through and a little bit claustrophobic. And something that's too wide is just kind of taking up space that you could be using for something else. And a big consideration in passageways is actually putting in linen cupboards. I don't know why today there's so many spaces where linen cupboards are not provided for. And they're such a vital part of your day-to-day living to be able to put things away, you know, not have that clutter in your space.
Yeah.
Those things are also a huge consideration, and being able to make it work better.
And I suppose if you're depending on who your clients are, if you're designing for people that are possibly looking to live in that space until the end of time, and their needs are going to change. And someone once said to me when they were designing a shower, you need the opening to be wide enough to accommodate, you know, if you are disabled or infirm.
Yes.
And doorways and passages. I thought, well, I'd never thought like that because, well, you don't. But clearly he was looking at me as a someone little. But you have clients clearly that are going to possibly become at some stage less functional, and space like that, doorways, apertures, very important.
Yeah, it is, totally. I've had clients before that have, you know, had to have wheelchair access, and you'd be surprised how many places aren't built to be able to allow a wheelchair to move into a space and then turn into a doorway, or doorways that actually don't even accommodate the size of a wheelchair. It's definitely a big consideration.
And I think particularly in an affluent area with an older population, it's something from a resale point of view that clearly is going to, at the beginning of the exercise, if you've thought about it, it just gives you the opportunity. You might never need to use it, but if you do, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, ready to roll, as they say.
Yeah, and moving furniture. Like, that's another thing, to move furniture through your passageways into doorways. If your space is not big enough, you can't move a couch.
That's very true. Very, very true. And it's something that I suppose one looking at in terms of practical application, if you're designing, do you work with multi-level structures? I'm talking about maybe double and triple story?
Yes, of course.
What are some of the challenges there?
So if we're talking about moving furniture, that can also be, you know, if your stairway is not wide enough to be able to maneuver a chair around a corner, up a landing, into another space, that's quite a challenge. So you've got to make sure all of those spaces can get your king-size bed in at the end of the day. There has been some circumstances where things are actually moved on the outside through the windows because it's an easier thing.
That's the only way to do it if you haven't had it properly designed in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's strange to think these are multi-million rand builds and that kind of feature has not been thought of because they went light on the interior design or the expertise at the beginning, brought it in at the end too late.
Yeah.
Silly. Such is life. We've talked a little bit about storage and maybe we should touch on it again. You mentioned the linen cupboard, but are there other storage ideas that one needs to take into consideration?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, think about your bedside table and how many things you have there on a nightly basis. And, you know, it would be nice to be able to put them away so that when you're not using that space, it's all clutter-free and you can actually place something down next to you. Another thing is pantry cupboards. Where do you put all your groceries? Do you want to see that? How, you know, you want it to be easily accessible? You can find your baked beans 1, 2, 3 rather than searching through a deep cupboard. Linen cupboards, there's all sorts of different storage ideas just to make sure that you've got something clean, clutter-free, and, you know, that's nice to work with every day so it doesn't frustrate you.
And then the drawer. Everyone, particularly the guys, I know, has a drawer where everything goes in. In case one day you're going to need it again, in case.
Yes.
And that's it's a jumble, but it's an important jumble. It's part of your life. It's your jumble.
Yes. Yeah. Every kitchen has got a junk drawer. That's got a ball of string and a battery and, I don't know, keys from 3 years ago. There's always one.
What about plugs and utility items? Because that's another big thing. People, I don't know if you can ever have enough or too many plugs, but maybe you can.
I mean, it's always nice to have more than what you need. So that if the need does appear, you have something to work with. But it's something that we do, that we work with in the design development stage. Consider the plugs next to your bedside. You don't want to have to move furniture to be able to plug in your phone or anything else that you're charging, since everything needs to be charged these days. Or having a plug available, it's free on a wall that doesn't have furniture in front of it, so that you can plug in a vacuum cleaner or some sort of cleaning apparatus or whatnot. So all of those things need to be discussed and figured out in the beginning. And we need to know what you're doing to enable us to put the plugs in the right place for you and how you like to live your life.
Yeah, and if you're going to add extra lighting that isn't part of the fixtures, I'm talking about lamps in particular.
Yeah.
You need convenient, but also we don't want them glaring, standing, ruining the aspect of your beautiful wall. So important. That's designed clearly with thought in mind.
Another big one is air cons. So everybody wants air conditioning inside their home, but having the air con where it is it interfering with the curtains? Is it a big eyesore as soon as you walk into a room? You know, all of those considerations have to happen at that stage as well, because you've got to get everything into the ceiling for the services, for the drainage, for all that sort of stuff.
And then the actual light switches as well, because I've seen walls where a light switch is in the wrong place and you can't put a work of art because the switch is in the wrong place, which is a pity.
Yeah. And also you want it easily accessible, right? You want to be able to put your hand through the door and turn off the light. Walk past the room the light's on. Turn it off super easy. Not it's halfway inside the room or behind a door or in an awkward place.
And now talking about less physical elements, sound, acoustics,
yes,
and privacy. People forget how much this affects happiness, I would imagine. There's certain areas of the home where you don't necessarily want to hear all the sounds and the fury coming from. And then, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. acoustics is a huge thing to think about inside your space, especially when you've got these massive open plan areas. You know, all of that space allows for echoes and things to happen inside it. And you might not even realize that you're experiencing it and it's actually frustrating you. But as soon as you do realize it, it's just, you know, you can't kind of not hear it anymore. So when we're designing spaces like that, we consider the materials that we're putting in to help as much as possible with absorbing sound, stopping it from bouncing all over the place, with additions of rugs on hard floors or curtains, soft furniture, even acoustic panels sometimes.
And I believe acoustic panels have become really popular and quite attractive.
Yeah, you can get them in all shapes and forms. You can even get some that look like pieces of art.
Well, look at our studio here. Yeah. But it is important. People, I think, undervalue how important sound and lighting are to atmosphere.
Yeah.
And sound in particular.
Yeah.
It's well, you've clearly thought it through. What about bringing the outdoors in or the indoors out? I mean, we kind of live in a world now where flow is important. You want to open up to, because we have gorgeous weather in this country, luckily, and in this province in particular. Not always. I mean, on a day like today, maybe you want to keep the drizzle out. But generally speaking, do you design for that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, so many of the spaces that we do now, you have these beautiful verandas that come off from the kitchen lounge area, and we need to be able to open them up so it all becomes one space when you're entertaining. And there's plenty of solutions for that. You know, we've got lots of cavity doors where you can stack the doors into your walls, which is quite cool because then it doesn't even look like they're there. Or if they're frameless glass, or, you know, there's quite a variety of different processes, but it's definitely something we have a look at that stage.
And what are some of the mistakes, the common mistakes that you see being made in design and functionality?
So definitely looking at a space and thinking, oh, I want it to look like that. I love this aesthetic, but then not thinking about the practicalities behind it. So maybe a gorgeous floating bedside table, but it's got absolutely no storage in it. I use bedside tables because it's a very easy reference. So it's definitely something, you know, you need to think about how you're going to live in that space. And then the aesthetics of it as well.
How do you, when you've designed something for functionality, and how do you test that it's going to work before you actually commit to it?
So we obviously do a lot of drawings and 3D plans that can show people visuals, but we also do mock-ups on site. So we'll go through when the site is empty and like masking tape out where the couches are, where the tables are, how this is going to look, and you can kind of walk through the space and get an idea of what the space is around you. And then we can then go, oh, maybe that doesn't work so well. Let's rather make this couch smaller or bring this wall out a bit or whatnot. So we mock it up for people.
Okay, and is that a long-term solution or is it temporary for the time and then it's going to change?
No, I mean, the making sure your space functions well and flows well is something that you're going to appreciate for years to come. I mean, it must be a solution for your home if you're going to be there for the rest of your life. So it's a very important thing to do that might take you a little bit of extra time, but it's going to give you huge benefit for the next decade.
You talk about a four-phase process of bringing it all together. How does that work?
And so during the concept phases, when we first kind of meet you, we go through exactly what you want and how the flow works. And then in the design development phase, that's when we get into the nitty-gritties and start to put them into technical documentation and lock it down. And then through the construction phase, we go through when you're building or renovating and make sure that the things are happening so that we can achieve what we've done in the first two phases. And if there are any things that we might need to reconsider or change, we can adapt at that stage with the end goal still in mind. And then obviously at the end, we finish it and make the aesthetics come together and you get your beautiful end product.
And you're 100% happier for 1% investment.
Yes.
I love it. So finally, a quick tip, hot tips for listeners wanting to improve function in their spaces.
So I think have a walk through your house and, you know, try and see it through the eyes of a guest, or maybe just go through and see the things that just bug you every day. You know, like for me, it's the school bags at my entrance. Like that needs a place, that needs somewhere to go. And as much as I try and get my kids to put them in the right place, it doesn't always happen. But I probably have a solution for that. So those sorts of things, go through, see what it is and fix that one thing. And then it might just inspire you to carry on doing more. And if you can't see it, come through, speak to us, show us videos, you know, whatever you can share with us, and maybe a fresh eyes will give you some ideas of how you can help the space.
All starts with ideas.
Yeah.
And good ideas are the basis for functional design that makes you happier at Redesign Interiors. My special guest, Paige Woplington, and recently opened an emporium here in Bolito, down in the Quarter Shopping Center, just around the corner from where we're broadcasting. Always a good idea that you pop in if you're in the area or make a special trip to discuss your ideas and have a cup of coffee and a chat. Who knows? You too could be happier by design. And this will be up as a podcast shortly. So if you just joined us and you missed out some of the conversation, you can catch up on our app or on our website under The Morning Show. Paige, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again very, very soon.
Yes.
The Morning Show continues.